Thank you for worship team for bringing us into the presence, acknowledging the presence of God that is here. And it's incredible to me as we sing these songs, how they just point straight to the message. And yes, there's a little bit of planning that goes on with that, but it's amazing where the Holy Spirit just takes over and brings these things to life. And so I'm just excited for what this morning holds in so many different in different ways. But we are here together to worship God first and foremost before anything else. And we have done that, and we are going to continue to do that this morning. And so with that being said, if you've come in late and maybe are new, my name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek. And it's my honor and privilege to be able to speak to you this morning. Just last weekend, I returned back from Africa with several other members from this congregation. We had an incredible time. Life-changing as always. Each of us had unique experiences. Hopefully we'll be able to hear a little bit more about that even next week. But it was just incredible to experience God in a new and fresh way yet again over in Africa, and then bringing that back here and the reality of the God that is the God over there is the God that is the God of this congregation and this community as well. And so with all of that being said, we are definitely jumping in to a season of newness, a season of sort of freshness. And we sort of experience these seasons a couple times a year, once in January, kind of the new year. It's like this great time to kind of have New Year's resolutions and have all these sort of new things happen in our life. And we have all these great, you know, ideas that we're going to accomplish all of these different things. And maybe they last a week, maybe they last the whole year, who knows. But we have that sort of mentality. And then we sort of get to have that again in the fall as we're heading back into school and as ministry starts up around here in different ways and shapes and forms. But we are all excited about what the future holds, hopefully. And so maybe you're a parent and you just have come off a phenomenal summer, hopefully. Maybe you've gone on vacation because the world sort of opened back up a little bit for you to be able to do that this summer. But you're excited that your children are now going back to school if you are a parent of children who are attending public school. And so you're excited about this reality, this newness, this freshness that this season brings. Maybe you're a student and you've had a great summer and you're excited about seeing your friends again and going back into school into what looks like to be a little bit more of a regular and normal situation and circumstance. And so you've got that excitement as well, but also mixed a little bit with anxiety and anticipation as to what the school year is going to bring. And then off on top of that, it's the season of fall soon approaching. It's not quite there yet, but we've sort of coming to the end of summer. And so maybe that makes some of us super happy and excited because we love everything pumpkin and everything sweater and everything leaves and all of that stuff. I'll be honest, I'm one of those people. I love it. I do actually like winter as well. So this is like a great like stepping stone into winter. I'm excited about that, the leaves changing, all that comes with that. Our family every year loves to just sort of on the prime leaf changing weekend, go out into the country and just look at God's creation, God's masterpiece, and the beauty that surrounds it. And so the freshness and newness of the changing season that's coming along with that. And then, of course, there's a huge amount of anticipation and hope for the Bills. I can't not address that. We're all, half of us in here are wearing red, white, and blue. We're excited for what's to come. We're going to celebrate and worry about that after service, but we are going to focus on the God of creation right now in this service. And with that being said, I want to ask you something, because this is also the beginning of our ministry year. We have a lot of new things going on that we're going to talk about at the end of service, opportunities for you to be served, opportunities for you to serve, all sorts of different things. And so I want to ask you this question. What are you dreaming big? What are you dreaming big? And I'm not just talking about the things that I just mentioned with school year and the season and the Bills. What are you dreaming big? Where are you focusing your life on God, expecting him to show up in miraculous and new and fresh ways? Are you as excited about what God wants to do in this next season? And yes, these seasons don't automatically always end up nicely gift-wrapped in a bow in the calendar year of transition. God can do something new in your life anytime throughout the year, but it's natural for us to sort of acknowledge that reality in these seasons. And so what are you dreaming big for? What are you expecting that God is going to do in your life that maybe you didn't think he could do before? And so I want to address that this morning as we sort of dive into scripture. We're going to be looking in Isaiah. Isaiah 43:18 is where we're going to start this morning. So let me read this passage as I sort of get into what we're going to talk about. It says this. This is Isaiah speaking to the Israelites. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? God is saying to the prophet Isaiah, to the Israelites, he's saying, I want to do something new, but I need you to stop looking back and look ahead with expectation and hope into what I can do in your lives, what I can do in you as a nation, what God can do at South Creek as our community as we continue to move forward with hope and expectation into something new that God wants to do. We're seeing something new take place right now in East Aurora. It's beautiful. It's powerful. We're excited to see what is going to continue to happen through that. But that doesn't mean that God is giving all his attention over there or to the other churches around the area. We're all the big church, and God wants to do something new through all of us collectively. And so what is that? And where do you fit into that? I think oftentimes we can look back, we can get stuck in the past, and we can be like, well, things were really good back then. And I don't know how God could ever sort of make it any better than that. Maybe this last summer was fantastic because you did get to do stuff as a family and it was a great time to be together. Maybe you experienced the newness of God and great circumstances in your life. And you're like, I don't know if I want to like kind of let go of that. I kind of want to live in that. But God wants to encourage you to continue moving forward with expectation as he wants to do something new in you. A perfect example of that is myself personally. As I've gone through ministry here now at the church 17 years, it's crazy to think that. I've kind of had these stepping stone moments in which I would step into the next thing that God has for me, but I was always tempted to be stuck in the past and look at the past of what God has done in my life and think to myself, there's no way he has something better for me, or there's no way that there's something new on the horizon for me. But if that was the case, I would still be doing the same thing I came in here day one doing. And that was incredible. I loved every bit of it. I was leading worship and student ministry. I would have been on fall retreat on the weekend, this weekend, leading worship. And it was great. But God continued to want to show me new things as I continued. And so if it wasn't for me being able to, and struggling through it at times, but being able to let go of the past and look forward with expectation and hope, I would not be standing here before you today speaking. And so it's incredible to look at the story that God has played out in my life as I look back. And I don't cling to it. And at times I'm tempted to. And I don't cling to it, but I learn from it. I'm encouraged by it. I see God's promises working in and through it, and then I move forward with hope and expectation. And so that's what God wants each and every one of us to do as we continue moving on through these seasons in our life. God wants to show you new hope. He wants to show you new provision. He wants to show you new healing in areas maybe of brokenness. He wants to show you a newness that springs up from deep within your soul. He wants to do that for you this morning. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, that sounds great and all. You're talking about a positive past. You're talking about things that are really good in the past. But Trevor, you don't even really understand what I've gone through the past several years, or maybe the past 16 months, and the immense loss and grief that you've been dealing with throughout the last 16 months of COVID, whatever that looks like. Maybe it affected you in an incredibly negative way, and you lost loved ones, you lost your job, and you can't possibly think for a minute that you're gonna be able to move forward because you can't see God in the past, and so how could he ever be in the future? But God has been there in the past, as we sang, even when we don't see it, even when we don't know it, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we have this hope that springs up deep within inside us. And as we read this passage, it's interesting to know the context of Isaiah as he's speaking to the Israelites. Because he's actually speaking to them in the midst of a season of discipline from God, a season in which they turned their back on God, went away from the instructions of God, and began to worship lesser gods, began to worship idols, began to do things that were not of God. And so they were in this season of wilderness. They were in this season of dryness. But God is saying, listen, I still want to do something incredible. I still want to do something new in you, but you got to let go of the past and look forward with anticipation as I am here for you. In fact, let me read the following verse as I add this to it. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, whether good or bad. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is encouraging the Israelites through Isaiah. God is encouraging you and me today, still, as these words still hold true today, that in the midst of the dryness, in the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the heartache, God wants to do something incredible, and he wants to do something new in your life. And what an incredible season to be reminded of the reality and the truth of that. He's questioning the Israelites. He's questioning you and me. Can you sense it? Can you feel it? Do you perceive it? Are you excited about it? Are you excited about it more than you're excited about the Bills season? But for real. Because, I mean, I think to myself at times, and it's consumed my mind leading up to this Sunday. And it's not really the way God has intended me to live my life, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. We're celebrating it afterwards. We're watching it together. It's a great way to bring each other together. But are you as excited about what God wants to do in your life as you are about the things of this world? And the Israelites were stuck in the things of the world. They were stuck comparing. They wanted the things of their surrounding nations. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. And they wanted to be a part of something what seemed greater. And God's like, no, none of that is going to draw you into a close relationship with me. You need to let go of those things and draw near to me. God wants you to draw near to him today. He wants you to draw near to him in this season. The Message paraphrases that verse in a really cool way. It says this: forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Again, we can learn from history. We can see God in it, especially after we've been removed from it. It's easy to look back and then see the hand of God in it. It's very difficult at times, sometimes, to see it in the moment. Be alert and be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the deserts, rivers in the badlands. So my question is simply, are you ready for God to do something new and incredible in your life? You see, the Spirit of God is within you, and hope is the order of the day. Here at Watermark, we want to be a church of hope, healing, and grace, impacting generations to come. We're going to unpack that in the month of October as we slowly move into our new name reveal, which is on the horizon, which is coming. And so there's a lot of excitement about that. But we want to be a church of hope, healing, and grace. It is our birthright as followers of Jesus Christ to be filled with the hope of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was sent down to this earth to take our place, to take our punishment, and bring us into right relationship with Jesus Christ. And because there is an empty tomb, because Jesus died but rose again defeating death, we can experience hope in a world that is often seemingly hopeless. As Christ followers, we should be the most hope-filled, expectant people on the planet. Are we that this morning? And we see it happen over and over in history. We see it happen over and over in history as God continues to show up, even in the midst of brokenness, even in the midst of discipline. He shows that he loves his creation and wants to redeem them, and he wants to draw you in and wants to redeem you in this season of newness. But sometimes we forget that. We forget about that power that he has, and we think that we can do everything in our own wisdom and in our own abilities, whether it's a good past that we don't want to let go, and we're fearful that he could never do anything as good as what we've maybe accomplished in our own abilities, when in reality is not true at all. Or maybe we're stuck in the past and we are losing faith because we don't understand how God could be in the future. But he is there for us. He's shown us all through history, and he continues to show us today that he's there. He wants to do big things in your life. The Apostle Paul also reiterates this truth in Ephesians 3:20. He says this to the church of Ephesus. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." The thing is that God can do even more than we can imagine. And sometimes we doubt ourselves. We think, well, I would love to see this happen. I would love to be able to make this impact in my community. I would love to be able to make this impact in my school. I would love to be able to boldly stand up and proclaim my faith and not be ashamed of it. I would love to make a difference. And we think to ourselves, but there's no way that could ever happen. Even just recently in Africa, our team experienced that reality in many different ways, seeing God move in bigger ways than we could have ever imagined. Because God wants to do even greater things in your life than you can even imagine, than you can even dream up. He wants to do that. And actually, the story of Poetis is just that, the group that we just traveled to Africa with. It's incredible as you look back, and I have had the privilege to actually travel over there 10 or 11 times now. I've almost actually lost count, but I've seen their history. I've seen God in their history throughout the entire time. And they have had moments of extreme success, and they have had moments of extreme heartache, extreme failure and brokenness. And through all of that, God never let go of them. God continued to work through them in powerful and dynamic ways, and the leadership of Poetis continued to have the mentality and the mindset of looking forward, learning from the past, looking forward with hope and expectation that God wants to do something even greater than he could ever imagine. Even this trip that we just took was an incredible example of that. They had come up with this idea of Love Choma. First time they ever did this, they were going to go out into the community of Choma and serve hundreds of people. Well, they put together the trip early in the year, and they only had a few people actually sign up for it. So all of a sudden, they're like, well, you know what? I guess we're not going to do as much as we thought, but that's fine. We'll still do what we can. Then they approached Watermark, and we ended up putting together a team of 16 in a week, which is unheard of around here. And so we quadrupled the workforce. Then we gathered with other people in Poetis. We gathered with other Zambians. And we were exponentially doing the work of the Lord far greater than they ever had imagined. And it was incredible to be a part of that story. And this doesn't just have to happen overseas. This doesn't just have to happen through a missions trip. This can happen in your school. This can happen in your community. This can happen in your workplace. And this can happen in our church. And I want it to happen in our church. I want to stop thinking to myself, well, you know what? We're only a church of this size. We can't do this. We can't do that. We're never going to be able to do that. I want to start experiencing the hope and expectation that is filled with God the Father. Even next week, going to two services is a test of faith. For the longest time, I'm like, we can't go to two services. We're not at capacity. Why would we do that? But my hope and my desire is that people will step up and actually serve through this process. And that people would come to be more a part of the ministry that's taking place here at South Creek than just sitting here on a Sunday morning. So we're going to get into that in just a little bit as well as we continue. But God wants to do so much through each and every one of us. And I want to be a part of that, and I hope you want to be a part of that as well. And really, it comes down to this. When God wants to do something immeasurably more, there is often a step that needs to take place on our end. And really, nothing that takes place out there is possible without the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. We first acknowledge that before anything. There's nothing that we can do in and of our own strength to make God happier, to make God love us more, to make God love us less, to be more successful in ministry. It is all empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit. But God does want us to act in obedience as we step forward into his will. And so a quote by Pastor Charles Finney says this: revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. Than a new beginning of obedience to God. We are to obey God by walking in to what he has for us to do. And so we don't obey to be saved. We are saved in order to obey. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we are able to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, obey the steps that God is calling us into. And so that's something that we are encouraging each and every one of you to do as we move forward, as we do this. To surrender not just a part of your life, not just a corner of your life, not just a piece of your life, but all of your life into the hands of Jesus Christ. Not to just surrender 1 hour Sunday morning, but to actually surrender yourself into a life of service in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be major. But in some way, shape, or form, some way, to get off the seat, to get off the pew, to get off the chair that we are on, and actually step into the game. To step into the process, to step into the building of the kingdom of God with the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. One of our mission statements, one portion of our mission statement, which again we're going to unpack in October, is to participate with the Holy Spirit. To participate with what the Holy Spirit is already doing. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is on the move around here. The Holy Spirit is on the move in the community of Hamburg. The Holy Spirit is on the move in the city of Buffalo. The Holy Spirit is on the move in this world. Are we going to step in and participate what God is already doing? Because as we step in obedience and participate, exponential things happen and the kingdom of God grows dramatically. That's what God wants to do in this season of newness. And maybe it starts with simply confessing your sin, acknowledging, God, I've not been who you've desired me to be. Maybe you need to step into a relationship with Jesus for the very first time this morning. I don't know what that looks like, but each and every one of us can take a step in that direction, can take a step into the purpose that God has for us so that we can be a part of the kingdom of God right here in this church. And so at the end, I'm going to kind of go through a little bit of some tangible takeaways that we can do. But before we do so, I want to show you a video of one of our ministry partners. This is actually Denny Willis, and he oversees our global outreach department. But he's got an inspiring message for each and every one of us. And then I'll come up after that video and sort of wrap us up together. So check this out, this word from Denny.
I'm a fan. I love to watch the game. From the bleachers, on TV, at home, with my friends, or even by myself. I'm a fan. I scream at the TV. I put on the war paint. I do the wave. And Monday's attitude is decided on Sunday afternoon. A fan is passionate. A fan is entertained. We judge the product without putting in the effort. Fans are designed to be entertained. Step on the field and it's a whole new ball game. Get in the game and what you do suddenly matters. How you live makes a difference. Where you spend your time has an impact. Reality is, as a fan, they're going to play the game whether I'm there or not. But when I'm a player in the missions field, they can't win without me. Today is the day to get off the sidelines and get into the game, to get on the roster of the best team in the league, where you can have an eternal impact in God's team. There are ministries from all over the church waiting to put you on the roster. Today, get off your seats and get into the game.
All right. So with that being said, we do want you to get off your seats and get into the game. At the same time, we realize that some of you may be in different seasons in which serving is just very truly challenging for you. But we still want you to get engaged, even to the point, and maybe you're just receiving service. So there's opportunities in this ministry fair after service that you can immediately go to. There'll be people over there to answer your questions for a variety of ministries. How can you step into a season in which maybe you are just receiving? Maybe you need to receive some healing. Maybe you need to experience the grace and the hope of Jesus Christ in your life. But on the other hand, maybe you're also in a season where you've just been sort of sitting in the chairs for too long, and God is calling you to step up and do something. God is calling you to step up and serve in a powerful and dynamic ways. There's ways to serve all throughout the world. There's ways to serve all throughout the city. There's ways to serve all throughout the community. And there are a multitude of ways to serve right here in this church. And as we serve, as we get into the game that's going to go on, regardless if we're a part of it or not, because the Holy Spirit's not going to stop moving, we can see this kingdom impact happen before our eyes. And we can be a part of it. And so I want to read this passage one more time. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God wants to do something new in your life today. He wants you to tap in to what he is already doing. And there are several tangible ways in which you can do that over there after service. My prayer is that you would do just that you would step into the reality of what God wants for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe that's the first step you need to take, is acknowledging Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in a season of dryness and you need to receive some healing, and maybe you're in a season in which you're ready to step up and help out and serve others. I'm going to close us by praying Ephesians 3, 16 through 21 over all of us. Let me pray. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you, this church, with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.